Welcome to this edition of the Ute Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby from TornbySports.com, and with me,
Joseph Silverzweig. Hey, everybody. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to talk. I mean, we were planning on talking Pac-12 media, maybe Utah-centric this week.
You know, but it's June. It's slow time. Nothing's going on. A couple of non-revenue sports. What could possibly happen that would be interesting? It's not like we're going to get a four-star commitment to hire new athletic director within the span of about 12 minutes, right?
Right.
It's not going to happen. So we could talk about whatever. Oh, wait. No. That's what happened. And here we are.
Talk exactly.
About that instead. We may come back to the rating stuff. We'll kind of see where the month takes us.
Yeah, I think we'll get back to it. But obviously, there's some other things we'd rather talk about that are bigger news topics than the current media situation of the Utes in the Pac-12. But as always, we need those reviews. We need your feedback. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, go give us the reviews so we can get discovered. And if there's something we need to work on, please reach out to us, utalk@gmail.com, at utalkpodcast on Twitter, or just find Joseph and I individually on Twitter. We're open to your feedback and ideas. Beyond that, it's pretty much the dead of sports right now. Even for those Olympic sports, there's just not a lot going on. Track and field championships, I'm personally not even sure whether we have anything, but Joseph, here's the cool thing. The schedule goes like this: track and field, football.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. Football. It's so exciting to look at and see. And I know the timeline, you know, it's not to scale there, but
it's coming.
Me clapping my hands like a leprechaun. Giddy
that's
leprechaun.
How a leprechaun claps their hands.
Well, yeah, I could do like the whole Irish accent and things, but I don't want to lose listeners this early in the show, so I'm not going to do it. You guys are just going to have to imagine my Irish accent, which is
probably
better
horrible.
Than you would think. No, I'm pretty good at it. I'm a classically trained actor. People don't know this about me, but my first undergraduate experience was in classical theater, so I
that probably goes along well with law degree.
It does. It really does, actually. But I have about 3 years of like voice and dialect training and stuff, so it's actually pretty good. But still, you're gonna have to wait. You know, I don't work for free. So.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I do a lot, but not today. Let's talk sports instead.
All right.
So, yeah.
So, hold on. Which one do you want to go first? Do you want to go basketball or do you want to go AD?
Well,
because in case you didn't pick up, that's what we're going to cover today.
Yes, yes, yes. The recruiters dropped a full 8 minutes or so before the first leak of the
So,
Harlem
basketball
stuff.
Wins.
So, that's like. Yeah, I mean, it's like twins, you know, and if they were vying for the throne, the both Gotch, and you have to forgive me. I mean, I just don't even know where to start with this young man's name. It's spelled both and then G-A-C-H, so I've been saying both Gotch. It could be totally wrong. Utah was waiting on his commitment, finally picked it up. He was down to three schools, and I have it on pretty good authority that we can thank, in some degree, the FBI for both Gotch on the Utes. Because he's an Arizona kid. He was doing his pre-college stuff.
He's playing down there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although I think he's from out of the country originally. But he was thinking about UA and the FBI stuff kind of made him say, I'm just going to reconsider. I'm going to see if there are other options. And he did. And now he's a Ute. And the letter is signed. It's all done because basketball isn't football. We don't have to wait. They tend to commit after signing day and sign immediately. So here he is. Have you had a chance to look at his film or watched him? I don't know how much is out there. I know he's tall and that he's kind of everything.
How about some stats on him then,
Swiss
since
Army
you're not
man.
Sure? He's tall, okay?
Well,
he's a basketball
I mean,
player.
So he's
Nice analysis.
He's tall for I mean, people keep saying point guard, but he's 6'7" or 6'6", depending on who you ask. So
according to the trend, 6'7", out of Arizona, as you so eloquently put it, he's kind of a forward guard combo. But yeah, I've seen a lot of point guards, so that's a really big point guard compared to what we've been running.
Right? Really long, and he's not. I mean, obviously, he's 6'7". He's long as well as tall. Right.
I mean, I've seen DeLon Wright stuff thrown around. I think that's a bit of. See, here's my thing, right?
How tall is DeLon's not 6'7".
DeLon's not 6'7", but I've seen comparisons, not just because of height, but.
Yeah, but if you're
going
to compare him to DeLon Wright, you might as well compare him to Magic Johnson, which is ridiculous.
Whoa,
the guy's 19
whoa, whoa.
Years old.
No, exactly. Well, DeLon Wright's no freaking Magic Johnson. That's
but,
a different
what
comparison.
What I'm saying is, you just have no idea. And you can start talking about
true.
Body type, and that's
so,
about it.
That gets me to the answer of your question. Have I been watching a lot of film or anything? No, haven't been. You know me in recruiting. I think it's big in basketball to some extent because one player can really change things. But for the most part, I try not to get too hung up on it. It's awesome that, here's a 4-star combo guard, 6'7". I mean, that's a good – the stats are good. Whether it translates to college is always the question, right? Just like the question when you're going to the NBA, will it translate? And the answer is yes or no, depending on the situation, right? It's so situational. Although I will say this, I'm excited based on his recruitment. I'm excited based on, I mean, this freshman class coming in, I mean, there's plenty of reason to be excited. I'm just looking at the players coming in. You got Charles Jones, who's a transfer from Idaho.
That was a great get.
Great get. You got Nassim Gaskin coming in. Timmy Allen, who's freaking scoring like crazy.
I can't believe how much he scores. I watch him play, and I don't expect him to be that kind of dynamic scorer, but it just goes
is.
In the hoop every time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, Lahat Dione, maybe? I don't know. Riley Batten, and then both Gotch or Booth Gotch. I mean,
we're adrift. We are adrift in a sea of linguistics here. And if you know, we'd love to know both him and Theone because we just don't.
Theone. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
And we're going with like essentially like a Pacific Island pronunciation for these guys, but they're from Africa, and I think Theone is from like either the Sudan or one of the areas where they speak French and where the French language has a lot of name. But enough about that. The point is, if you know, tell us. We'd love to know. And if you're listening, Mr. Gotch, I'm sorry. We have the utmost respect for your culture. We just don't know
how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And yeah. So here's the thing is I've got pro and con here, and let me know what you think. One thing Larry Kruskowiak has been criticized for has been roster turnover year over year over year. Earlier on in the pack, his time here, it was because of transfers, right? Now we're bringing in this really nice recruiting class of, six players that, are all being talked up like they could be contributors and game changers and everything. I mean, we already talked about Timmy Allen scoring. We've got this 6'7" combo guard and Gotch coming. Riley Batten's supposed to be a good scoring big. So are we having too much roster turnover on the young side this time?
In pushing in new talent?
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not. You got to think of, or I think of, I don't know if you have to, but I think of the recruit. Each recruit is a roll of the dice, right? And it's a weighted roll of the dice. If you got a 4-star recruit, 9 times out of 10, that die is coming up a 5 or a 6. If it's a 3-star recruit, Well, you're more likely to get a 2 or 3 or used to 4 or sometimes a 1, but that doesn't happen with a 4-star recruit. And so when you add these pieces, you're adding dice rolls. You get more opportunities to strike gold. And whether both Gotch is successful, whether Riley Batten is successful, whether Theone is successful, somebody is going to strike gold. One of these guys is going to show up, and he's going to have the touch, and he's going to listen, and he's going to find the system right away, and he's just going to fit right in. And we don't know which one of them it's going to be, but what we do know is we've got extra chances, and a lot of them are weighted really well, because these are highly recruited guys with the physical tools and the bodies to really succeed, and to if they stick, and if it works, it's going to work well because of the way they're physically put together. Yeah. So I don't think it's bad, because if they're terrible, you still got the other talent.
Well, to fill in. This brings me to the point that I'm getting to, which is the next subject with basketball, is expectations are building, right? We're bringing in all of this great recruiting class, probably one of the best Utah's ever seen.
They're ranked 26th. We're having some problem with the historic rankings right now and rivals, but yeah, I would say the best, if not one of top three, if not just the best, because Pirtle wasn't ranked.
Yep.
DeLon Wright wasn't a highly recruited player. Kyle Kuzma wasn't a highly recruited player. And it's been a long time since we've had elite players. And back in the day when there were other elite players, we just don't have ways to evaluate recruiting classes. So we have to start evaluating history of recruiting in like 2002. So there's not a lot to go on, and this probably the best class.
And I would definitely say the best one that Larry Kay's put together.
Oh yeah, it's beauty. Easy. It's a beauty.
So with that being
average
said,
star rating's the highest. That's good. Keep going.
Okay. So with that being said, even with the turnover, one thing we've learned with Larry Kay is scheduling is how he builds expectations. Right?
You know exactly what
he thinks.
He's like, we're going to play Prairie View this year. You're like, crap, we're going to lose 12 games. But if he says, for example, we're going to play Minnesota, which he said, honestly, it was, like a day and a half after he got both Gotch. You know, he thinks they're good. And every time the Utes land another one of these recruits, the expectations go,
well, and then you schedule Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, he's excited. He thinks we're going to win.
Ultimately, like, I'm close to saying my expectations are going to be, like, top three Pac-12, if not top two.
I would say at this point, based on the scheduling and what we know about Larry, a fair expectation is a top five tourney seed.
Well, top... A 5 seed in the national tournament.
Yeah. He's scheduling Power 5 teams in a way that suggests that he's not at all concerned about conference record, and that he wants big-time marquee notches in their belt for when the committees come around.
Wow.
His expectation. I would say that's his expectation. And maybe it won't be that good, but that's where we are. I mean, you look at these numbers, and you look at this relative to the last time Utah had a team like this. Now, keep in mind, the 14-15 season, there was Don Wright, Jakob Pirtle, and Kyle Kuzma were all in that roster. Now, Kuzma was a baby, but...
Yeah, he didn't play much. If at all.
But the fact that he was on the roster, and we know he's talented, and somebody on that roster was better than him, and they weren't saying, well, we got to play Kuzma because he's got this and this and this, tells you that was a good team. That was a highly talented team.
It was a Sweet 16 team.
And then Ken Pom ranking was 4 for that team. Dang. And it's the closest that we've gotten to this. And I think in terms of schedule, echoes at the best. And then you look at the recruiting trends, and this is a huge, huge jump from anything that's happened before in terms of average star rating. I mean, it's been a pretty steady trend up. But if you're taking that example and saying this is the same kind of team, we've got, we don't know who they are yet, but we've got two or three guys on this team who are NBA players or will be at some point.
I don't know.
That's a Sweet 16 team. And if it's not, that's a problem, right? If you've got a team with three NBA players on it and you don't make this Sweet 16,
that's, I don't know about this NBA players stuff.
Oh, they're there.
I don't know if I'd go
there. I don't know who they are. I'm not saying this guy or that guy, but they're there.
You think they're on this roster?
Now, with the, or they're going to get class.
A top five seed in the national tournament.
I think that's Larry's expectation.
Which means
one of the top 20. They'll be a top 25 team.
My statement of second or third in the Pac-12 is legit.
Yeah, yeah.
We both,
I think,
are
third
green.
Would maybe be disappointing.
Wow.
They got fourth last year with a bunch of,
the thing,
union guys.
I don't know. Let me just point this out. Like, I think one of the hardest jobs and yet most important jobs of a coach is to manage expectations.
Yes.
That
and he's
determines,
not doing that this
he
year.
Is not. And talk about either reckless abandon if they fail, or we should start getting hyped up. But it's,
well, that's the thing,
we're
right?
talking is, about this in June.
If he's not managing expectations, that's one thing. But he always has. Before.
He always has.
Every
yeah.
other time he set expectations schedule. That are like, last year's like, well, maybe we're like a fifth or a sixth or a seventh place team. Mm-hmm. And we weren't. We were better than that.
Yeah.
So is this the same situation where he's setting expectations of a second or third place top 25 team and we're actually better than that?
Yeah.
That's the question, which is a lot to take in, and it bugs me a little bit because I'm kind of fangirling for basketball, and then immediately in the next month you're going to hear me start fangirling for football because I think both of these teams are the.
Well, you've already predicted a national title for the football team.
This year is Rose Bowl and a Pac-12 title. Next year. Is a national.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I mean, you got to let these things develop.
It's crazy. It's crazy in
giddy.
June that
I'm
we're having
to,
this
I'm
discussion.
I'm trying to maintain my cool, but I'm a little giddy. Yes, and it's Larry.
Are.
It's Larry who's doing it. He's blowing smoke up my skirt.
I have no argument against it. He is burning some sweetgrass, and you are smelling it nicely.
Yes, I'm smelling the sweetgrass. That's it. There we
All
go.
All right.
That's,
well, it. It's going to be intriguing to watch. We have to wait till October to see that team play. So
it's a really long time to wait, but we're excited.
Yeah. So
that's not a leprechaun clap. That was like a dad coach clap. I've got a repertoire. All right, but I think we've talked basketball. We've talked this idea that expectations are up, and they're up high. And does that mean that Larry actually expects more than that? But when we're talking about expectations, I think that the new AD is setting some pretty high expectations. Did you take in the press conference or read any of the interviews?
So I listened to the press conference, and I've listened to his interview on ESPN 700. I haven't gone crazy with content. Because, I mean, based on what I've heard, the guy's got a lot of listening to do. And
he said listen a lot. But that's good leadership, I think. That makes a lot of sense, especially because one thing I kind of want to get out of the way while we're talking about this is this was not expected by anybody. I mean, I'm not, the most connected guy in the world. What were you going to say?
But just to make it clear, we've shifted. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Mark Garland.
Here you are, clunk. I did this beautiful, smooth transition, and you're like, wait, hold on. I got to grab my pickaxe and just let everybody know. No, they didn't. Yeah, they're following us. They're flowing with us.
Oh,
okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Yes, we have moved on. Save your questions about basketball for after the break. But nobody expected the Harlan hire. Boosters expected it to be Kyle Brennan. Coaches expected it to be Kyle Brennan. Then now we're getting to like tertiary sources. So this is, I heard this person told this person's stuff. So very hearsay, but even people on the director's search committee thought they were going to be picking Brennan, and then they didn't. So it's very surprising to a lot of people. And I think a lot of Harlan's comments about listening and reaching out have to do with assuaging some of the hurt feelings that are going to be going on. There's a lot of people who are really pulling for Kyle Brennan, and it's going to be tough, I think, managing their reactions and their emotional response to this stuff.
Do you think that's really that big of a deal?
I think so. I mean, Kyle Brennan has been here
He hasn't left yet, has he?
No. And I think that's telling. And I wonder if this maybe isn't seen as kind of an Urban Kyle situation where they said, Brennan's just not quite ready. Let's bring in this kind of rising star guy who there's some expectation and this isn't from anybody inside the program, that he may move on a little faster than other athletic directors might move on. And so then the idea would be, maybe let's keep Brennan involved and bring him up if that's what's necessary and he does move on. Although it's different than coaching, because pay in coaching is this huge disparity, and you go from making, you know, $250,000 a year to $500,000. Suddenly you're like Kyle Whittingham making $3 million a year. It's amazing. But then Ohio State or Florida come calling and they say, we're going to basically triple your salary. It's really hard to say no to that. Whereas in the athletic director world, it's more like you kind of think of, where USC pays better than Utah, but not an order of magnitude better than Utah. So I don't think there's the same polls or kind of economic stuff going on that happens that drags coaches out of places where they want to be for a long time, but then somebody knocks on their door and says, I will take care of the rest of your family for the, you know, next 100 years if you come work for me. It's hard to say no to that.
So I'll get my one point, since you asked if I listened to everything. I think, you know, Harlan seems like a good hire. I know you have some evidence as to why.
I think it's
but
great.
Personally, you know, it's a wait and see. I will always say wait and see. It's like my common trend here, apparently. But I just don't see reason for me personally to be super excited. It sounds like the first little while he's going to be, you know,
listening.
A lot of listening. And he's gonna, I mean, it's gonna be a lot of status quo.
Oh, well, this is downer. Can I get everybody pumped up
in a minute? But
okay,
I feel like
I got
in
like
a year,
stuff. I'm gonna like fire some fireworks
okay.
off.
In like a year or two, maybe some stuff will start to drop and it'll seem pretty good, or we can have reason to be excited. But until then, I feel like it's gonna be pretty much a snooze fest. And now that everyone's asleep and like, who cares? They hired a new AD. Go ahead, Joseph. Why should we be excited? Why should we listen?
Because, that's good, man. We are on it. I feel like this is a special and exciting show, and I hope you're all enjoying listening as much as I am talking. So I think Harlan is like a slam dunk hire as an AD. I think he checks all of the boxes that Utah needed to check in a way that not many other people in the country could have. I mean, the first thing is, the first job of an AD is fundraising, and he's really good at it. He was a big part of UCLA's athletic department and did a really good job fundraising there, fundraised really well at USF. And that's important. The other thing that I like, and I think Ute fans are going to like, is he was known for his aggressive football scheduling at USF. anybody, anytime attitude. And I don't think he's going to bring that exact attitude into Utah because the power dynamics are different. But I'm hopeful that his outsider perspective is going to let him accept the new reality that BYU is not an A game, and that Utah can schedule a good opponent who they might lose to and still feel confident they'll beat BYU and beat their C game, or beat their B game and also beat BYU. They were really terrible last year, and there's no reason to think they're going to be better this year or for the foreseeable future. The gap is widening, and Utah's, what, 90% winning percentage over the last decade, somewhere around there? That's not a team you schedule instead of Michigan.
Oh, hands down. Totally right? Agree.
That's the issue. Nobody wants to stop playing BYU. They just want to stop treating BYU
correction
as the best game on the schedule. Almost no one.
Yeah.
Not as
so,
many people.
Since the legislature will audit the heck out of
that's
Utah
definitely
if they don't play BYU, we'll have to schedule them. But, you know, if they keep winning, eventually I would even say they're the C game.
The performance level lately has been C game.
Yeah.
That is, Utah has no reason to lose if they're fielding a competent Pac-12 product.
Yeah. So,
and that's dangerous with a team like BYU and with how close the scores have been and the games have been. But I think it's fair. I would be totally okay playing Michigan, NIU, and BYU. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of fans and observers don't like playing.
You can call yourselves players because you're armchair quarterbacks. So
yes.
There you go. I'll give you that.
I agree. Like a love seat quarterback.
If Harlan can make it to where we actually schedule a real A game,
that may happen. And I think his outsider perspective may let him go, wait, when was the last time we lost to BYU? Why are we treating them like that? Not that we don't play them, but why are we scheduling them like they're the best non-conference opponent we can get? Because they're not even close to that, both because Utah can get better opponents now and because BYU is not who they used to be.
Yeah.
The other thing is non-revenue sports. He did a really good job at USF with the tennis team was a top 25. I've got a list here. Hang on. Golf was a top 25 team. Women's basketball was a top 25 team. And baseball, some NCAA tournament appearances. Women's soccer, NCAA tournament appearances. So that's a lot, right? And I think that's something that's important to Utah fans and Utah boosters and to the Pac-12 is that the Olympic and non-revenue sports are strong. And he's demonstrated kind of a commitment to that. That's nice. And the other thing, and this probably doesn't matter as much to fans, but it matters to me, academics. USF had a really good academic record, good graduation rates. It's important to Kyle Whittingham. It's important to Coach Krestakoviak. And I think it's important to kind of continue that tradition because it was certainly important to Chris Hill.
Yeah, and I appreciate that that was the first thing he said he wanted to continue to do was keep the academics improved and even build upon what's been done up to this point, which is a lot of good work, honestly. And props to the student athletes for caring and making it happen. And props to the programs and the different people helping these students to make sure that academically they're getting the education expected of a Pac-12 school and the University of Utah.
Because there's a lot of these guys and girls you wouldn't know if you rode in an elevator with them.
Yep.
And it's really important that those kids get out of it with something valuable because
totally.
They give a lot.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that matter and not just be focused on, well, is Tyler Huntley going to get drafted and to be thinking about, you know, Drew Lisk and what his future holds.
Yeah. And on a side tangent to this,
he's on scholarship, Drew Lisk, today.
What's your
tangent?
I saw that.
That was my tangent. What's your tangent?
My tangent is I've seen some reports that colleges are beginning to struggle financially, and instead of potentially cutting costs or looking at increasing revenues, they're building stuff. Like LSU built an LSU Lazy River for their campus, which is very...
Lazy River?
Yeah.
I want to go.
The LSU logo.
Nice. It's all hot and muggy and...
So, heck, let's go spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to go enjoy the LSU Lazy River by going to school there. It's just... I don't know. I'm intrigued. Having heard or read the article I read that was talking about that, I'm intrigued to see where the University of Utah is. But looking as far as the athletics department and Harlan's approach, is it seems like it's going to be pretty balanced, right? He's going to make sure the athletes are keeping the academics good and working towards that. Of course, he wants the team... the teams to perform and compete, like you said, whether it's the revenue sports or the Olympic sports. And then the other point, which I imagine you're getting to, is he wants to have a good relationship with the community and donors and all of those people.
Yeah, and has demonstrated the ability to do that in the past. And I think that's what the listening is about, and realizing that any time you go into a new situation... Utah's situation is, I think, particularly fraught with complicated kind of dynamics that are at work. You have to understand the environment. You have to understand what you're going into. And you don't do that by walking in and kicking down doors and saying, here's how we're going to do things. You do that by walking into the boardroom and sitting down in the biggest seat and shutting up. I mean, that's the key. And it's a huge part of successful leadership is not talking. And I think that is a good vein to say that we are going to successfully lead our way out of the podcast by not talking anymore. And we're just going to say...
Till next time?
Till next time?
Well, and you got please... More. Let's get some feedback. Can we get some feedback, people?
I mean, this was a special episode. You almost got to hear my leprechaun impression, and that's special, and all of my different claps. And I think that's worthy of a 5-star review on iTunes, don't you?
Sure, let's hear it.
Sure, he says, until slowly next week. While covering his face with his hands.
Seriously, facepalm. All right. Well, until next week, go Utes.
Go Utes.